Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So it's crazy to think that we've been in our 20th year of mission in Thailand, and you guys have been with us the whole time.
Awesome.
So you're flipping legends, sticking with us this long. But you know, we've been in everything from rural tribes in the villages of Thailand to in the northern Thailand to the southern part of Thailand, working amongst the Muslims there, to now being at a part of Pneuma Bangkok, then the city church there. We just love it.
By the way, Pneuma Bangkok sends their love and their greetings. We talked with Pastor Lynn just the other day, and she asked me to send her love to you all.
Well done. And keeping kids and families. We're now about keeping kids and families, looking after kids, making sure they're in strong families. And we also are about bringing hope to refugee families through education. It's been a phenomenal journey. And I just want to say thank you so much for walking this journey with us. There's more to come. I grew up in a small little country town in a very small country. You may have heard of it, called New Zealand. In New Zealand, when I was in New Zealand, there were 3 million people and 60 million sheep. It was a small town. I lived in a really small town of 3,000 people, a country town. I went to a small school. I was in a small class, and I was always the smallest kid in my class. How did I feel? I felt... Oh, we're on track. Fantastic. And at 10 years of age, I asked Jesus into my life, and I received him, and I knew what it meant to be a Christian. At that moment, I knew the destiny for my life. I was heading for a life of boredom. I knew the rules. I knew I couldn't do this. I knew I couldn't do that. And I knew I was going to be a good boy. And I was Timmy the good boy. And then I met the real Jesus. At 19 years of age, everything changed. Jesus met me at my point of need. You know what my need was? A need of significance, a need to be seen, a need for purpose. And God met me right there, and he has consumed me with his love and his love for his people. He lit a fire in me, a fire I didn't even know that was there. And he released something of his fire, his passion, and his indescribable love into my life. And our life has just been, this is our saying, we carry his presence and we release his presence wherever we go. And as the Blues Brothers said in the 1980s, for you, those of you who know, we're on a mission from God. Yeah. Have you experienced this life-changing, have you had this experience yourself? The life-changing experience of meeting the real Jesus. Not the Jesus that's portrayed, but the Jesus who comes and lives inside of you, inside of me. And he meets you at your point of need. And he loves you so much that he refuses to leave you in that point of need. And he takes us on a journey of healing and transformation and gives us the opportunity to be part of the greatest movement the world has ever experience, the restoring of the world through the work of Jesus Christ and his church. That's us, baby. That's us. Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I love what he says at the end there. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do it. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. John 2:32, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Haggai 2:7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Who is the desire of all nations? Jesus. Jesus, his name is Jesus. He's not just a Western concept. He's not a cultural option. He is the desire of every nation, of every human heart. He's the reason we live. He's the creator of all life. He is the origin of life. He is life itself. He's the one that every tribe, every culture, every nation, every man, every woman, every child, every follower, every leader, every human being is longing for Jesus. And he calls you and me nobodies, little towns, nobodies. And he invites us to be a part of his wonderful big family and his incredible mission for the world, that all would hear of him and all would know him. I love what Jesus does in individuals' lives, but I love what he does in whole societies and whole communities. We just want to show you a video. It's an old one. You'll know it's an old one because you'll see my wife's hair color in it. You know I love you. It doesn't matter. I love her. She knows it does matter. I'm sorry.
We were at another church. I can tell a story on him now. We were at another church a couple of weeks ago, and at the end of the service, all the youth came forward and were having this like jumping mosh pit type thing to worship. It was going so hot. And then I just turned to Tim and said, we can't miss out on that. So we both jumped in and we're going for it. Only I didn't realise it was going to go for about 20 minutes and we jumped in about 15 minutes too early.
All right, let's watch
this
video.
Let's go.
This is my grandfather, and he used to be a witch doctor, but he's now become a Christian. Since he came to Christ, God started to change the whole village. There were three witch doctors in this village, all of whom became Christians. And now this village is entirely Christian, 100%. And then in the next village across, Bunden Village, the witch doctors there have become Christians also. So the influence that's happening in this village is now starting to spread out to many, many different villages. So my grandfather was the head witch doctor. And one day my mum wasn't well. She had malaria. My grandfather was calling on the spirits, and my father was also calling on the spirits for healing. It didn't matter what they did, they kept calling on the spirits, but in the end my mother died. So my father began to think after my mum died, like, why did this happen? About the time that this was happening, Eric and Mariana Klar and Ratrapi and Banya also came in and started sharing the gospel in our village. And Milk came to see that the power that they were speaking about was more powerful than these spirits. Despite the fact that their family, with the head witch doctors of the region, the spirits still weren't able to help them. But then came the Spirit of God, who was able to help them change their lives. And then when we became Christians, our lives changed so much. Everything in our lives has changed. Our whole village has changed. People's lives around us have changed. Before, everyone here would be on opium. But when we became Christians, as a village we became Christians, the whole area got cleaned up. In the village before, if you worked all year at planting rice and harvesting it, for a year's work you would reap about enough rice to eat for half of a year. Now God has changed the whole village and the land here even, so that now if you work for a year, you'll get more than a year and a half's harvest out of it. This is an amazing miracle that's happened in our village. God has changed us. Mankind can't do this sort of change. Not even my grandpa here could change the community. God is the one who can change people. He changes our thoughts. Changes our life. He changes our speech. He gives us new life. This village has been so blessed by God. Thank God for it.
That old grandfather has since passed away, but his decision to come to Christ has now meant that the next five generations' lives have been changed. You think it's only one person, but you don't understand the ripple effect, the generations that are affected by leading one person to Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a witch doctor in the Northern Hill tribes of Thailand or if you're a school teacher here in Melbourne. Jesus loves everyone, and he has called every single one of us. He's called us to mission, to live on a mission. He doesn't call just the elite. Jesus calls every believer to play a role in this program that he's got for us. He calls all of us, every single one of us, to play our part on the team. And our role is to pray, give, and go. We pray. Some people might be called to pray and fast for weeks on end, but we're all able to pray every day. Some people might be called to give what is a life-altering legacy, but all of us are called to give something. Some people might be called to pack their lives into a 20-kilo suitcase and move across the nations, but we're all called to go on a mission to our neighbours. We're all called to pray, give and go. I want to give you just a few statistics, if you can hang in there for numbers and things for just a minute. Let's have a look at this circle coming up on the screen. The centre of the circle there is the evangelicals in the world, and the grey part represents every person in the world. Evangelicals are the people who really believe that salvation is through Jesus, and they want to share that information to see other people receive Christ. And they now make up about 10% of the world's population. But if we expand this out to the next slide, around that are other Christians. If you put in the evangelicals and your nominal Christians, together we make up about 33% of the world now. But as evangelicals, we've got the responsibility of encouraging and teaching our nominal friends so they too can experience the fullness in Christ. And then if we look out a little bit further, what we've done now is break that up. So instead of saying grey is the whole world, we've broken into different sectors. So top right, we have India. You can see there's very few evangelicals or nominals there. And the green is another group we call culturally near. That means that they're not believers. The green are not believers yet, but they live somewhere near someone who has their culture and their language and is able to share the gospel to them. You can see the Muslim majority countries, again, very low on. And then other Asia, that's us, Thailand, that's where we are. And then as we go through China, you can see even though the percentage of evangelicals and nominals are very small, there's so many people in China that have the chance, if they want to hear the gospel. And we go around Australia, you fit into North America and Pacific, all right? So we can see that the Christians aren't evenly spread around the world. We're in different sectors of the world. But there are those who are culturally near to a believer, and therefore they're likely to be able to hear the gospel. This is our responsibility in Yuma Church. There are non-Christians who live near us in our own nations, and we can go to them without having to learn a new culture, without having to learn a new language. Let's have a look at the next slide, the last one for you. Now the blue section, the blue are about half of the non-believers in the world, and these ones are culturally distant. There isn't someone near them that can effectively share the gospel in their language and their culture. This is where we need missionaries to go out and learn a language, to go and learn the culture, to be able to share. They're about half of the non-believers in the world. The other half live next door to you. We need to go to both the green and the blue there. This information all comes from something called the Joshua Project. It's a brilliant website, and I really encourage you to get onto that and have a look at some of the other stuff they got. But please note, the green part is you. It's one of the things that we need to do to go and reach the unreached is to see our neighbours. But one of the things Tim and I are doing for the blue people is going into rural schools in Thailand to get the gospel in places where it otherwise wouldn't go. So have a quick look at this video.
How will we know if no one comes and tells us?
How will we know?
How can we hear?
How will we know if no one comes?
Working together with a local church in the rural community, we present a fun, powerful presentation of the story of Jesus, and we give children the opportunity to respond. We then give each of the kids a cartoon booklet that's filled with games, stories from the Bible, and so much more. And from this booklet, the children have the opportunity to connect with our team and become part of our follow-up Bible correspondence course.
There are still so many places where they've not yet heard the message of Jesus. If we don't go, they may never hear. That's why we must go, so that they can hear, that they can know, and they too can follow Jesus.
How will we know if no one comes?
The gospel message is actually a really simple message. I want to tell you a story of a young boy called Egg. Egg was a young Thai boy. Egg was his nickname, EGG. Egg was from a poor home, and he lived with his grandmother, and Egg was a really naughty kid. Always in the principal's office. We got any of these ones in the room? Often wagged school and hated studying. He was always in trouble. Well, the good news team came to his school. This was many years ago. Came to Egg's school, and he wasn't listening. He was sitting down the back, a grade five kid with his mates, and they were just mocking what was going on with the program. And then it came towards the end where the team said, "We want to pray." And he heard these words, "God loves you. Jesus loves you. He wants you to know him." And the words, "Prayesu songrakun," stuck in his heart and did something inside him. He was something he had to have. And our team gave him the booklet, and on the back of the booklet was an address. And he realized it wasn't actually that far from the office, wasn't that far from his home. So he walked to the office and got there and said, "I need to know more about Jesus." And our team led him to Jesus, which was beautiful. So he walked back home to his grandmother who he lived with, told her what he'd done, and she said, "You can't do that. We're Buddhist. Go back and tell them." So he sheepishly walked right back to the office, knocked on the door, walked in, said, "My grandmother said I can't become a Christian because we're Buddhist." And our team, in all their wisdom, looked at him and said, "I'm so sorry, it's too late." A few years ago, I didn't do it, it wasn't me, all right? A few years ago, a female actress in Thailand was tragically killed in a boating accident on the river there in Bangkok. Her name was Dang Moor, which means watermelon. She was really famous in the country, and it was huge news all over Thailand. And Dang Moor had been led to Christ by a man by the name of Pastor Chachai some years earlier. And so this funeral was a Christian funeral, but because she was so famous, and Thai funerals go for many days, there were three main days that this funeral went for. And during the funeral, Pastor Chachai had actually led her to the Lord. And during this funeral,
this was all telecast. Hey,
it was all live telecast. Not telecast, but on video links. You know, that's all. I can't think what you call them nowadays. I'm not that old. I just can't think. And so this was over. Over YouTube, and there were millions, honestly, millions of people listening into this, and there was a whole setup behind where people could call in and call churches that had set themselves up to take the calls and lead people to Jesus. It was an incredible time in the country. Pastor Chachai has a nickname. His nickname is Egg. Pastor Chachai was that little boy. Incredible story. Incredible story of a little kid who no one knew. Nobody knew about him, but he gave his life to Jesus, and millions of people have heard the gospel through him. Can I tell you, just like me, nobody saw us. Nobody sees us, we think, but God does. And he has so much more for us. And your neighbor could be the next person. So much for us. We must reach the unreached. That's why we're on this planet, guys. That's why we got called. I love this worship time, but if the worship doesn't go out and affect our neighbors, doesn't go out and affect the people around us, if it doesn't cause us to go out of this place with a heart for the lost, we've missed it. We've missed it. We must reach the unreached. As Pastor Noy in that video said, we must go.
When my grandfather was alive, for him, if he wanted to go and share the gospel in Thailand, it would have taken a minimum of 4 weeks by boat to get there. Nowadays, I jump on a plane in the evening and I wake up and I'm in Thailand already. The whole travel thing has changed the world. I live in Bangkok so that I can share the gospel with the people there. But when I'm in Melbourne, I just walk down the street and there's Thai restaurants everywhere full of Thai cooks and Thai waitresses and Thai people eating. The Thai people are around. And right here, I can lead people to the Lord. And they've all got families in Thailand and they will travel between the countries and share the gospel in their own language and in their own culture in Thailand as well. We don't have to all go overseas because overseas has come to us now. The ease of travel and immigration has really changed the game. The world is coming to Australia now. Yeah. The people who were culturally distant, the blue people, they're moving into our green patch so we can reach them here. The world is changing. Do you know in Melbourne alone, this year, this financial year, we're expecting between 80 and 100,000 people to permanently immigrate into Melbourne. 100,000 people coming here. Imagine if the Church of Melbourne could see 10% of them saved. Imagine if it was just 1%, Numa. If we could see 1%, that's 1,000 people a year. We'd fill this auditorium with an extra service just with the other people coming in. There's a huge number and a huge opportunity, and it's our patch to work out how we're going to see these people saved. Do you know the major group that are coming in as immigrants are coming from India? It's one of the largest unreached people groups, and they're all moving here. Well, not all of them, but a big significant number of them are coming here. This is a divine setup. Yeah, God is on the move. He is shaking the nations. He is shaking them and he's bringing them right here to Richmond. He's bringing them to the East Campus and to the South Campus and to the West Campus. God is on the move and he is bringing the nations here. We don't all have to go overseas, but we are all called to go. We're called to live on a mission. And live on a mission here. We need to go and reach the people. They've come to you because God is bringing them in to hear the gospel.
And I love the fact that he hasn't just said, just go and do it. He said, no, I go with you.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what prayer does? Prayer transforms our heart. That's the number one. It transforms our heart. It gives us a passion and a love for people. You know, there was a time there in Thailand where I was just getting really jacked off with the people, and it's like everything was just, I saw the difficulty with the culture, the difficulty, the way they treated people, all the stuff that was awful about them, and I was just so frustrated. And I was in prayer, and God said to me, I'm giving you a new love and a new heart for these people. And it changed everything. Prayer transforms our heart. You know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years ago, Numa Church partnered with us with a new project to go right down to the southern border of Thailand and work there in a Muslim community and work there in the sex trade industry. I mean, against the sex trade industry, yeah. Not in it. But for Thais, nobody wants to go to the south of Thailand. The south of Thailand at the time, and it still is, bombs going off regularly, people being shot in the streets. It's a war zone at times down in the south of Thailand, and Thais don't want to go there. We, with the team, were based in Chiang Mai. And so when it was decided that we wanted to go down there and do that, nobody wanted to go. And so we started praying as a team. The team got together every morning and we would pray for the south of Thailand. We would bless the south of Thailand. We would declare good things over the south of Thailand. We'd lay our hands on the map of Thailand. And for 6 months, we prayed daily for the south of Thailand. By the end of that 6 months, there were individuals coming up saying, God's changed my heart. I want to be there. God's changed my heart. I want to move down there and work with these people. And so in partnership with Numa, we're able to set up a base down there and we're able to start an incredible impact into the sex trade industry down there because of prayer changing people's hearts.
Abraham Lincoln said, Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? I love that. Jesus said, pray for those who mistreat you. You know, it's really easy just to get frustrated with people, you know, but God, when we pray for those same people, those people who challenge us, those people who hurt us, those people who simply believe and think differently than we do, when we start to actually pray for them, it gives God the opportunity to open our heart and change, to start to not just have his heart for them, but to see them as he sees them, to see the gold in those people. Our language changes, our compassion enters our worldview on things. Why? Because we pray. We allow God into the situation, into our lives, and he transforms us, because he is the God who has no limit. His love is unlimitless. And when he steps into a scene, everything changes. Prayer transforms our heart, but everything changes. Prayer invades the physical realm as well. Bronnie, tell us about the Jurai people.
Oh, the Jurai people are a refugee group from Vietnam. They're mostly Christians and they're fleeing the country because of religious persecution. We were beginning to have a lot of contacts with different refugees from all sorts of countries and starting to really pray into it. God, is this something that you really want us to move into? To put a lot of time and effort into something, you really want to know that that's where God wants your focus. And so we were praying into this. We'd already started an education program where we were training the Jurai in English language, because the next country they go to, they would probably have to speak English. And we were getting them to on-train other people, starting to work in that area. And that was really the beginning of what became later our Zoe Education Project. But it was at the time we were really praying into this. God, could you confirm if you want us working with these refugees? And somebody gave us a donation to help feed the Jurai people. And there were 60 families we were working with, and the donation we got came at about Christmas time. And so we went out and we bought 60 big packages of food. Like, we had 60 big bags of rice, 60 big trays of eggs. We had 60 kilograms of meat. We had 120 bottles of oil. We just had all sorts of stuff there ready for them, big bags of vegetables. And we told the 60 families, we have been given a gift for you. We're coming to give it to you. We'll be in the center of the community at this particular time. We knew all 60 would turn up. We just didn't know they'd tell their friends as well. Anyway, we got there knowing this could be a problem. And so the community leader had a list of all 60 names, and she was ticking off each person as they got the food, so we knew that someone wouldn't take two lots and nobody would miss out. So we got that done, and as we were going through the day, the community leader came to me and said, look, there are so many other families here. Can we feed them as well? And I'm like, I'm really sorry. We bought 60 packages. We don't have enough to give anyone else. And she said, no, that's not right. My list is completely ticked. All 60 families have picked up their food already, and there are still more bags here. And with that, Tim didn't know what was going on, but he came to me and said, I just looked at the car. There's still bags in the car that we mustn't have brought out. I thought we got them all. And so we brought them all out, and over 80 people, 80 families that day, received the huge hampers that we bought 60 of.
See, in Israel, Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves, right? Yeah, well, in Asia, you multiply the rice and the eggs. Yeah! Come on. We worked in that community, and I tell you what, it was stinking hot. There was no air conditioners. We were under a tin roof, and we were working in that place. It was not comfortable. But God calls us out of our comfort zones, all right, and into his zone, which is the zone of love, and to the people who have never heard of him. And Jesus said, pray for more workers to the harvest. There's a job to be done, guys. It's a physical job to be done. Prayer transforms the heart, invades the physical, and activates the mission. Do you know when we pray, we give angels assignments? I believe it with all my heart. When we pray, things shift in the unseen. God's given us power and authority. We're to use it in prayer. Prayer says, God, I'm out of my depth. I'm asking you to step in and do what only you can do. Time in prayer is never wasted time. And Jesus said, you know what he said? When you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not just give us this day our daily bread. Not just about myself, but your kingdom come. I want to challenge you, pray big prayers. Prayer alters circumstances, the physical, and opens doors where there is no human way through.
We were talking with one of our friends, a Pakistani refugee, and we're talking with him one day. I said, what are you up to? He says, we are praying fervently as a family. Tim and I have both prayed with his family, so we know what their fervent prayers are like. And this was another level. And so he explained to us, and I'm just going to give you some dot points here, but this is a real lived experience. Two of his siblings were back in the home country, and they hadn't been able to get out. One of his sisters who was there had been approached by some people with her husband at gunpoint and told to convert or else. And so the two of them had said they would convert. But after a period of time, they decided they cannot live a double life saying that they've converted when in their hearts they still love Jesus with all of their heart. So they publicly said that, no, we are Christians, which meant that they had reconverted. And that is a very significant penalty. So we needed to get her out of the country. Oh, sorry. Before that, after converting back, they got beaten really badly to the point that the husband died and she survived but was given to another man in marriage. She lived with him for some time and had a son to him. That man tired of her and threw her out with her son, no way of supporting herself, nothing available to her. She had to get out of the country quickly, but she's already on the blacklist. So if she went to the airport and tried to leave the country, she would be picked up. The family praying fervently for this sister. She ends up getting a ticket and gets to the airport on a day that the phone lines happened to be down and data wasn't being transferred, and they couldn't pick up that she was on the blacklist and she got out of the country. She ended up in Thailand. Working together with the family there. Normally, any individual is there for 10 to 12 years before they can get to a third country. 3 years later was about 3 weeks ago, and Tim and I went to visit her at a new home in Melbourne, Australia. So excited.
Can we have the band?
Changes it.
Can we have the musicians, please? Thank you. This mission will take you out of your comfort zone. God's going to meet you. He meets us at our point of need, but then he stretches us and makes us who he wants us to be, right? Am I the only one in the room? Yeah? Who's been stretched here? Yeah? Who wants to be stretched? Who wants to be who Jesus has called you to be? I do. I want to. I want to make a difference. I want my life to be of significance. Martha's family prayed fervently for her, and now she's got a new life, a new life. Who are you praying for? What are you praying fervently for? What impossible situation are you actively changing through prayer? And if all your prayers were answered today, would the world around us look different? Or would only your life look different? I'm asking myself, okay? It's a great question. Everyone can pray. Who are you praying for? Everyone can give. What's God asking of you during this time? This time, for this year, what's God asking of you? Everyone can go. Where is he sending you? Which nation? For some of you, which nation is he sending you? Which nation is he putting on your heart? Pray for that nation. Find a missionary who's in that country. Pray for that missionary. If they're on your heart, if you don't have one, ask God to give you one. Everyone can go. Where is he sending you? Who's the neighbor he wants you to invite into your world? Your neighbors are from all over the world now, and they're coming here. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Would you come? Would you come and fill this place? Use us to be part of your mission. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Each day I wake up, Father, I ask that you would put in my heart that I would recognize I'm on a mission from God. I'm on a mission from God today. Send me to the nations, Lord. Send me overseas. Send me to the nations. Send me to the nations here in Melbourne. Send me to my own street. Send me, Father.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.